When you are negotiating, finance can give you the ability to think, reflect, potentially reconsider the other person's position, but also it gives you the upper hand sometimes. So I would love for people to consider silence as part of the negotiations.
Welcome to Latinx in Power, a podcast hosted by Thaisa Fernandez.
When it comes to running a thriving business, there's nothing more crucial than boosting your revenue. Sales professionals do more than just seal the deal. They hunt down leads, predict growth, generate reports, handle contacts, craft content, and crush numbers. The list seems endless. As we approach Q4, it's time to discover a better way to succeed. And it all begins with the brand new HubSpot Sales Hub. With HubSpot Sales Hub, you find a seamless, connected platform where your data, tools, and teams come together, creating a smart and highly customizable workspace that is a pleasure to use. Transform potential leads into active pipelines and seal the deal, all from a single location. Speaking as a former designer, I can help but appreciate how user-friendly and visually appealing HubSpot is. It is both functional and aesthetically pleasing, which is the perfect combination, in my opinion. Moreover, the inclusion of sequences and streamlined workflows empower your sales team to simplify tasks and dedicate more time to what they excel at, building meaningful connections with customers. With Sales Hub, closing deals become a breeze. Why not experience it for yourself? Visit HubSpot.com/sales to give it a try.
Welcome to Latinx in Power. Today, we are talking with Diana Kleps. Diana is an experienced professional with a solid history in market expansion, diversity inclusion, DEI, sales and portfolio partnership management. As a key driver of 33 Floors Global Business Development Strategy, she oversees marketing operations, the sales team, and client experience. Whoa, welcome.
Hi, Thaisa. How are you? Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited with this conversation. In this podcast episode, Diana will share her journey to becoming an expert in business development, highlighting the role of DI, diversity and inclusion, in driving success, reflects on significant negotiation experience, and offer valuable advice for inspiring professionals in business development. I personally, BD, business development, it's something that it's very interesting, and I'm so excited to be talking more about this and this episode. So I wanted to ask you our first question. What does it mean to be a Latina for you?
Well, to be a Latina is to have the unique ability to be multifaceted at so many different levels. It means to be a student, but also an expert simultaneously, because we are always learning, but we are always teaching at the same time. It's not an external definition for me, but rather the most beautiful quality of my identity, to be honest with you.
I love that, like learning and teaching. I feel that this is the perfect balance.
Definitely. I mean, being Latina, we possess the charisma. We are daring, we are eager, luchadoras. With such a unique connection to our family, we are passionate about things that matter to us and our community. It's just who I am inside and out.
Love that. Love it. And can you share with us about your journey and your experience and what led you to become an expert that you are today? How was everything? I guess this is my question.
That is a great question. I migrated from the Dominican Republic to the United States as a teen. So being an immigrant, adjusting to cultural changes as a teenager, which is one of the most pivotal ages in any human being, because that's where we start forming our values and friendships and culture, right? All while learning a second language, working full-time, and going to school full-time, as it was required for me personally, because my family and I, we didn't have any financial capabilities. So I was required to do both in order to achieve what I needed to do. Helping my parents financially here in the U.S., but also back home, was crucial. So that's definitely part of my upbringings and my values and who I am today. Aiming to grow within the financial industry was a journey on its own. I had limited resources and allyship. I don't come from a background where I have mentors, neither in my family or professionally. So I have to definitely put my best face forward against adversity to accomplish what I needed. I believe the foundations of the real life experiences that I had to endure, all while applying my communications and psychology background within my education, has helped my career and everyday interactions personally with my clients and within the industry. This also assisted me in creating great success and fostering partnerships long term. I think that my natural curiosity led me to invest in my personal growth. I never gave up my education. I'm the first one to graduate college from my entire mother's side of the family, and there are over 35 cousins. But I also opened the doors for my sister to be the second one to graduate college. So to me, it has never been about being the first at anything, but can I do it and help somebody else that can follow along? So that being said, it's about becoming a better person. My journey has always been about what else can I do to better myself, to be a better citizen, to be better for my community, a better daughter, a better friend, a better wife, a better mother. It's about progress, never perfection, to be honest with you. Like, what else can I do to improve? I tell my kids all the time, it's not about trying, but about doing. What can you do today to better yourself for tomorrow?
Yeah, I love that. And it's so inspiring, like opening the doors to your family, to your community, being a mentor for them too, and an inspiration. I love that. And one thing that you made me think a lot, because I moved to the US in my late 20s, I cannot imagine how it is to move to a new country when you are a teenager. How was this for you? Like, what was the most challenging thing? I'm very curious of all.
Definitely overwhelming. I mean, I didn't move to any city. I moved to New York City, one of the most diverse, chaotic, busy, cultural cities of the world, right? Because you have to make it, right? You have to push forward. You are exposed to so much. And I come from a small island, a small village, and I was placed in this location where you have to adapt quickly. The experience was definitely about mindset over eyesight. What can I do to better my family? I have to work. I have to study. I have seen what not having anything looks like. So it can only get better from here if I put my efforts and vision. I'm not letting anyone or anything derail that. Yes, it's going to be challenging. Learning another language is going to be challenging. Sometimes frustrating, right? Because still today, I'm learning. Sometimes I forget how to say certain things. Like, how do you say that? So I'm sure so many people can identify with that. But it's about keep moving forward, learning and keep growing.
Incredible. One thing that I wanted to talk more with you, it's about DEI, diversity and inclusion. Personally, I feel in the past, like some years ago during the pandemic or before the pandemic, we were talking a lot about it. And I feel like now no one is talking about it. I don't know if it is. Hopefully, it's just my impression. Hopefully, I'm wrong, but I'd love to hear more from you. And also, what role do you believe DEI plays in driving success and growth within an organization?
Definitely. I have to agree with you. I believe that there was a point where this topic was so mentioned across social media, within news outlet, and within the internal culture of different organizations, and it has died down. And I don't believe that that should be the case. Diversity and inclusion assists the overall culture and bottom line of any organization. There's just so much value from the financial component of it, but also employees' engagement. The benefits include profit, better human capital engagement, and camaraderie, right? Building those allyship with those people that you are working with on a daily basis, boosting the team spirit and cultural values, regardless of the size of any organization. So any business or education, universities, for example, can benefit from fostering the growth of different ideas and inclusivity. That being said, from an early age, I was part of diversity groups. I started in high school, and professionally, I have helped develop and assisted with different ERGs, employees resource groups, get established and get funded. Because sometimes those organizations internally can help employees get mentorship, get additional certificates so they can expand their skill set. So having those programs within a company are very, very important. It's also important to know that this is not just a topic that applies to our professional lives, but personal as well. Expanding your own network and friendships to purposely be diverse is also pivotal. Because it's not just about, oh, let's have inclusivity and diversity in the professional life. Well, how about in your own personal life? It's not just professional. It has to be personal as well.
I love that you mentioned that, thinking about our personal lives, our friends, right? Where they come from. And I love that. And I love to be mindful of that as well, bring diversity to our own lives as well in a lot of different ways. So I love that. And like trying to be as inclusive as possible. For example, I was having a conversation with a friend this weekend and we met someone. It's interesting because at work, I'm very used to say my pronouns. And when it comes to like real life, sometimes I forget to say, oh, my pronouns are she, her, and ask the other person and be mindful of that. And I was having this conversation with my friend and he was telling me, oh, yeah, I think we need to be more mindful of that. And I was just talking with someone and telling him, oh, they go by they, them pronouns. That is something that sometimes I think it's different. Like at work for me, it's, I don't know how it's this for you, but it's something that I'm trying to be more mindful in my personal life too. And like normalize the sense of like saying my pronouns and asking the pronouns of the other folks.
No, I agree with you. I think it's just definitely keeping others' values or interests in mind is key. And this is why we're talking about diversity and inclusion, right? Inclusivity. Just because that's top of mind for you, that might not be for them. Just because your pronouns are applicable to you, doesn't mean it applies to them. So listening to other perspectives and other ideas and even pronouncing your name, right? It's important. Like all of those different things are part of being diverse, is part of growth, is part about inclusivity.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like for me, since I live most of my life in English, and sometimes when I'm speaking Portuguese and for Spanish, it's very similar, right? Because I think we're still getting there in terms of like being more inclusive in terms of the language. English is very interesting because we can use the they, and in Portuguese and Spanish, it's just like we don't have an equivalent of they, right? We have they in a feminine matter and a masculine matter that doesn't work.
So, it doesn't work. That's right. There's some words that just don't translate the same way.
Yeah, I think I'm very passionate about that. I feel that is very, very interesting conversation. And I wanted to ask you, like, what are some challenges you face in managing effective teams? And how do you approach mentorship and leadership to bring out the best in your team members?
Well, managing in general is such a complex, and it can also be such a rewarding role. I have walked into teams that didn't have any direction or accountability, and readjusting and recalibrating those inherited mindsets, because different managers have different styles, right? So recalibrating those mindsets could be a challenge on itself, but defining the long-term vision and goals and strategizing all while taking into account the individuals are essential. As it relates to mentorship and leadership, these are definitely pivotal initiatives that need to be top of mind for any manager. You start by singularly understanding the individual. The way that I will manage you is different from the way that I will manage your colleagues, because everybody has different needs, different things that drive them, different standards, different items that would motivate them for that matter. I don't believe one size fits all when it comes to mentorship or leadership. It's about adaptability and to purposely aim to collaborate and appreciate each individual and making those attributes work for the entire team and the organization.
That's incredible. I love that. Personally, I'm really enjoying getting insights from Latinx leaders. It's something that we have been exploring in the podcast, like talking with people, because if we think about numbers in the United States, folks from Latin America in tech, we are less than 3%, and managers are like unicorn. So I don't know if you are aware of that. So you are a unicorn. So thank you for that.
I hope that changes, to be honest with you. I foresee the need for us to lift others to definitely come to this space, the prop tech, the technology aspect of everything that we do today, because the career could be certainly rewarding.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. This number needs to increase. Like 3% is just ridiculous. Yeah, we need to get better at it.
Wanted to share a podcast that I really enjoyed learning more about. The name of the podcast is Content is Profit and is hosted by Luis and Ponzi Camejo and is brought to you by the HubSpot Podcast Network, the audio destination for business professionals. Discover the secrets and strategies on how your business can achieve the frictionless sales. They talk about frameworks, strategies, tactics, and bring special guests to bring you all the information you need in order to turn your content into profit. Very relevant topic. And I personally enjoyed the episode on Are Outside Opinions Sabotaging Your Success? How Feedback Drives Content Success, where Konstantin highlights the significance of self-validation, seeking feedback and maintaining consistency in a content creation, sharing his personal journey from doubt to transformation that is very inspiring, in my opinion. And listen to Content is Profit whenever you get your podcast.
And another really interesting aspect of your role that I wanted to hear more from you, I think negotiation, it's so important, like for anyone. And this is hard. It's just very, very hard. So I wanted to ask you, as a strategic negotiator, can you share some of your most significant negotiation experience and the key lessons you have learned from them?
I have to agree with you. Negotiating could be difficult in every aspect of our lives. But that being said, every negotiation has its own significance. Regardless if you are buying a home or a car, from working payment plans with universities, daily interactions in your own relationship, you are negotiating. So you have to keep that in mind because it matters. The places that you go for vacation, for example, sometimes you have to negotiate with your spouse or significant other. Well, how are we going to get to this? What if you don't want to do XYZ this year? Can we do it the next year? So a few takeaways personally that I can offer while negotiating include perhaps one that not many people use is silence. When you are negotiating, silence can give you the ability to think, reflect, potentially reconsider the other person's position, but also it gives you the upper hand sometimes. So I would love for people to consider silence as part of the negotiation skills. Have you ever had to apply silence to negotiations?
I think I never really thought about it. I think I talk a lot naturally. And one thing that I use a lot is numbers. I love numbers and I love to bring like numbers, things more tangible into the conversations, because sometimes it's not just like your opinion, what you think it is. It's just actual facts, right? But I think silence is something that I don't use at all, maybe.
Definitely something that has helped me professionally and personally. And I would love for more people to take advantage of it. It's within your power. Ask for what you need, communicate what the expectations are, and then pause. Just give it a minute and see how that evolves into hopefully what you need. And if not, just pivot from that. Some additional key takeaways when negotiating will be establishing a position of trust. If you walk into any negotiation not trusting or giving yourself up for them not to trust you, things might not work out well as reconsidering what your alternatives are. So if you don't get everything that you want, what would you be happy with? What are some of the takeaways that could potentially help you long term? I don't think any deal should be all or nothing. You have to give away some things to gain something else, and maybe not getting something at the present time, it's not so detrimental. Perhaps you can come back to the negotiation table, even if you are negotiating your salary. Okay, I might not get all the money that I want, but can I get another extra week vacation? Can you match my 401k at a different level, right? So just keeping those different items handy could be beneficial. So trust, professionalism, empathy, flexibility, those are all crucial, in my opinion.
Incredible. I'm still thinking about silence. For folks who never use silence in their negotiation, which advice would you give? Like, how do you start using silence? Like, count 1 to 10? Like, what is your advice?
I believe that once you start the dialogue presenting what you need, this is, let's say, in your career, you are negotiating a partnership with ABC company for whatever reason, like could be for marketing, potential growth. Tell them, I believe that this is what I bring to the table, and I believe that this is what I deserve. Can you tell me if you can match it? Do nothing else. That's it. You be quiet. Let them respond. Either they're going to say yes, or they're going to say no. And if they say no, that's definitely when you add in, well, if you cannot match it, can we revisit this dialogue 3 months from now once you see the better numbers? You know, you have to be able to continue that dialogue, but you have to give the other person the opportunity to respond. I know it's difficult, but you have to use silence to your advantage.
I love that. I will be thinking about that for a long, long time. Thank you for that. I love this. And what advice would you give to aspiring professionals looking to build a successful career in business development? What they should keep in mind? And I think we talked a little bit about the skills, but like, what advice would you give someone like who wants to transition to BD?
Within business development, this role is very predicated on results. You have to deliver to your goals, you have to meet targets, and it is a collaboration effort. So ensuring that you are measuring and evaluating your progress is key. Not every week or every month, you might get all the results that you want, but you have to be able to study that. What happened last month that I didn't get what I needed? Is there something that I need to do different? Is there something that I can do better? Is there some feedback that I can get from those deals, for example, that I didn't win? Like, why did I lose the deal? But also learning from the ones that you won. What did you do well that you can apply those skill set to help you get more results alike? That being said, it's equally important to understand your industry. As with any industry, research and adaptability can only benefit you. So you have to do some research, sometimes 10 to 15 minutes every other day or every day, starting your industry, your market, what's new, the trend could be really important, because as you are having dialogues and conversations with your team members, with your manager, with your clients, knowing what's going on in the industry, how those changes impact them is crucial. They will see you as an ally. They will see you as someone that they can trust and that they can ask for advice. It is essential to build relationships within the business development field. I believe in any field, but precisely on this one, you have to develop a great communication skill. You must be able to articulate the value that you are presenting to clients in a convincing manner. Stay true to yourself and find a way to set and always raise your own standards. So the way that you did last year doesn't mean that has to be the same this year. Can you do better? So it's about that progress, right? Not the perfection, but what can you do different to be a little bit better?
Yeah, I love that. Not the perfection, but what we can do better. I think sometimes we get stuck in the perfection side of things that a lot of times is impossible, right?
Absolutely. And your definition of perfection might be different from your manager's definition. So perfection is just, it's similar to beauty, in my opinion. Whatever perfection means for somebody else doesn't necessarily apply to you, but progress does, right? Always moving forward, always aiming to do better, not just trying, but doing better is key.
Incredible. Incredible. Another question that I really enjoy asking my guests, it's about the resources. I truly believe that resources are a game changer. And sometimes it's really hard to know like what I should dedicating my time, because I feel now it's awesome because we have access to a lot of different things and sometimes can be very overwhelming. For example, folks want to transition to business development. If you look some websites or like, I don't know, blogs or different things, people are going to say a lot of different things, and sometimes it feels super overwhelming. So I really enjoy this question because of that. So I wanted to ask you, which resource helped you in your journey?
I do believe there are resources overload out there. You have hundreds of anything from podcasts to Google searches to books to choose from to certificates that you perhaps could enroll and aim to achieve. There's a lot, but I do think that understanding first before identifying the resources, what is it that you want? What is it that you need for yourself, right? And then go for that. Personally, something that I love is Pep Talk. It's an app and I listen to it every day, and you have different topics. For example, if you want to work out, they're motivational. Like, there are days that I don't want to work out. I'd rather stay in bed and just watch TV. And like 5 minutes Pep Talk as to get up today, rest tomorrow. Just do it today. You can do it professionally. Sometimes you might not get that deal that you wanted. And that mindset that the Pep Talk can help you, even if you don't have a coach, for example, you don't have somebody that you can resort to, that app has really helped me sometimes lift your morale. You can do it. You know what? No doesn't mean no. It just means net opportunity, right? So those little reminders could really be beneficial. And there's a quote that I love, and it goes like this. Don't let anyone ever make you feel like you don't deserve what you want. Go for it. So one more time. Don't let anyone ever make you feel like you don't deserve what you want. Just go for it. And believe it or not, this is from a movie. And it's just so true. Go for it. What is the worst? You already know what no looks like. You don't have whatever that is. What could be the benefit of you going for what you want? You know, you might get it. So just go for it.
I love that. I really love that. And in this podcast, we love to talk about Brené Brown. And I love when she talks about the sense of the arena. And a lot of times you are in the arena and folks who are like sharing their feedback are not there. It's very easy, right? When you're not doing the work, telling people, oh, you should be doing X, Y, and Z. Why would you not consider, you know? And a lot of times it's just, like, they might have a point, but at the same time, you are in the arena, like doing all the work, and maybe their opinion doesn't matter, right? And this sense of like perfection too, I think it applies to that. It's like a lot of times we don't need perfection, and perfection can mean different things for different people. Mm-hmm. So I like the combination of those two quotes and like mindsets.
I agree in that regard. Sometimes you're going to get a lot of opinion, and that's okay. And that's what They are opinions. Take what is applicable to you in your personal life or your professional life, and then let the rest go. But it's okay. This is what inclusivity teaches us, and diversity. Everybody's going to have a different opinion about the same topic. Utilize for yourself what works and just block out the rest of the noise.
Yeah, they're just noise. Yes. Incredible. Really enjoying our conversation. Unfortunately, we are getting to the end. So Diana, I wanted to leave the last minutes for you to share anything you want to share, and also where people can find you.
Oh, thank you. It's been a pleasure getting to know you more. And thank you so much for having me on your podcast. I'm a true fan. And I hope that everyone gets to tune in and listen to this dialogue. I'm on LinkedIn under Diana Klepp, D-I-A-N-A Klepp, K-L-E-P-S. So feel free to connect. We'd love to, you know, start relationships and just help the network provide any advice that I can on that regard.
Incredible. Thank you. That's it for today, everyone. Thank you so much for your time. I would love to hear your thoughts about the podcast and the episodes. Please message us with any insight, any feedback you might have, and also guest suggestions. Message us in your favorite social media platform. We are in all social platforms. And if you want to write us in a review, we will love that. Feel free to write us in a review on Apple Podcasts, Audible, Amazon, or any other streaming that you like. Thank you.